Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Welcome to the show. This is what we do every Saturday morning. We bring you up to speed on everything that's going on in the sports world. And I tell you what, we don't leave anything out. And this week is no different. No different at all. And I tell you what, if you're here in the Midwest, I hope everybody's thawed out. We thought last week the snow had kind of gone past us, but looks like here in Indianapolis we're going to get another 3 to 5 inches. Well, my minions, it didn't happen. The Colts didn't quite make it happen, and maybe they beat themselves. But set up another shootout at the OK Corral, if you will. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, meeting for the 15th time. Certainly not the first time they've ever met for a big, big game. Ladies and gentlemen, one of those quarterbacks are going to the Super Bowl. Is it going to be Peyton Manning? A lot of us here in Indianapolis are rooting for number 18. Is it going to be Tom Brady? Who's it going to be? 917-889-8516 is my digits. I tell you what, today's a good show. I'm excited about today's show. We've got a lot planned for you. Coming up here at 9:30, we're going to be talking some college hoops. IU and Purdue both on the court today, not playing each other, but playing separately. Jimmy Cavanaugh is going to be joining us in $2 Bill Josh. And then at 10 o'clock, Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show, 1260 AM here. We're going to break down that big question that I just asked you. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Peyton Manning? Is it going to be Tom Brady? Of course, we have another big game going on out there on the West Coast. The Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. You know, I want to talk about, in a little while, we'll talk about a particular player for the Seattle Seahawks. And he's unique, and he's the very first of his kind. And so certainly an inspiring story that he's doing. We'll talk a little bit about that as we get into the show. You know, the great thing about our show is you can find us anywhere on social media, T-Balance, if you're on Twitter, or Facebook, The Balance. And don't forget our sister sites and sister social media that we do as well, IndianMay.com, getting geared up for Indy in May. Can you believe that? We're getting closer and closer to May. Just breathing the month of May here in Indianapolis is just something special. So it's something to think about. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that maybe, but IndianMay.com is where you need to be at there. IndianMay on Facebook and on Twitter, IndianMay. Of course, who could forget Pro Indy? Pro Indy. And you guys might have noticed a little bit of a change as we moved into 2014. We migrated away from IndyProSports.com to really centralizing everything under thebalanceonline.com. So you'll still see stuff, but if you really want to follow Indy Pro Sports, Pro Indy on your Twitter and Facebook, Pro Indy, we're still doing this. We're following the Pacers. Obviously, the Colts are out. the Pacers are still in, and we're going to be talking, you know, some Indy 11 on there, and just a lot of stuff going on. So we've got a great show planned for you. And then at the bottom of the hour, at the bottom of the show, last segment of the day, 10:30, we're going to kind of mix things up a little bit, no pun intended. We're going to be having an up-and-coming MMA fighter on with us at 10:30 here. We want to thank all of our fans over at Indiana Talks. If they're talking in Indiana, chances are they are talking on Indiana Talks. And I know you guys listen to us on a tape delay broadcast, so you guys are listening to the show you're listening to us today are on pre-recorded. So we certainly appreciate you and everything that you do over there at Indiana Talks. Well, guys, we'll be right back, and we're going to jump into some of this conversation here. We're going to talk a little bit. You know, we're just a few weeks away from Sochi. Can you say Sochi with me? That's right. Team USA. So we're going to get into that conversation. So we got a lot around the corner here. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Don't go away. You'll miss everything if you do.
Everybody get up.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
My daddy left us. I was only 6 months older than you are now.
I don't remember him. You will remember me.
Jackie Robinson. A black man in white baseball.
I want you to know I'm there for you.
In my heart.
Think about the abuse that he's going to take.
Your enemy will be out in force, but you cannot meet him on his own low ground.
What you gonna do if one of these pictures throws through your head?
I'll duck.
Mark my words and circle this date. Negroes are gonna run the white man straight out of baseball.
This ain't the America I know. You hear me?
If they knew you, they would be ashamed.
If Robinson can help us win, then he is going to play on this ball club.
You don't belong here, and you never will.
Get off the field.
Brooklyn Dodgers ain't changing our way of living.
Where are we down?
You are not the only one with something at stake here.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
Give me a uniform. Give me a number on my back. I'll give you the guts.
I father, I Brooklyn Dodger them. I jack, I rob, I send. Oh man, I'm Jackie Robinson. Except when I run base, I dodge the pen.
I'm just a ball player.
You a hero.
Why don't you look in the mirror? This is a white man's game.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here.
I'm a Brooklyn boy. I may take some getting used to.
Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
En nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans. When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team. And that includes you.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
County Road 233, under my feet. Nothing on this wide rock but a little old me. I got to do my
pill. All right, my minions. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Mark Wessel, Presidente. It is Saturday morning. My digits 917-889-8516. And I tell you what, we were supposed to have Sean Horton. Maybe we will sad sack him. I think he is going to be calling us here in just a minute. I don't know. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we got some time to fill here, 917-889-8516. And you know what? Typically here in this segment, we talk racing. Is typically geared for our racing segment. So I don't want you guys to think that we have totally forgot about racing, which we have not, by the way. But it's kind of the off season, so we've got to fill time in. So certainly, you know, there's a lot going on in NASCAR, a lot going on in IndyCar, a lot of team changes going on in IndyCar, and some things going on in NASCAR. So we are on top of that, and certainly testing going on over there in Daytona. Can you believe we are just a few short weeks away from the Daytona 500? And so, yes, we have not forgot our racing fans. We're just kind of in the off season, if you will. So if you want to talk some racing, I'm all about that today. Well, we can certainly talk about that. And did you see Tony Kanaan get his Indy 500 trophy? And then also his son got the little baby one. So that was kind of cool. 917-889-8516 is the digits. 2014, Danica Patrick. Let's talk a little bit about Danica Patrick. I think she's in for a rough season. You know, here's the thing. Every year we talk Danica Patrick. We talk about, you know, whether you love her or hate her, certainly she's out there on the track. But she's not won a race yet. And I don't know that 2014 is going to be any better for her. What are your thoughts? Do you think that this is the year that Danica Patrick can win a race? Really win a race? Unbelievable. So, you know, I think that maybe she's in for a rough season. What are some of your thoughts as we look into NASCAR? We could talk some NASCAR. You know, also we've got IndyCar. There's been a lot of changes going on in IndyCar as well. Team changes. Tony Kanaan, obviously, and this is gonna be a little bit different. Although I guess we're kind of used to seeing Tony Kanaan race in a different team, but it's gonna be different. And I'm interested to see how things shape up. And I'm very, very interested to see how this Indy. The Grand Prix of Indianapolis, if you will, our first road course in the month of May with IndyCar. Obviously, a lot of IndyCar fans love road courses. You know, I it's grown on me. I've been one of those oval guys, and I know our producer Michelle Jones is a big oval person. But you know, I had different opportunities out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, had the opportunity to check out the road courses and the road races is actually kind of cool. But, you know, are you a road course fan? Or are you an oval fan? But the great thing about that, whether or not you're an oval fan or a road course fan, you can Let's see. Is this Sean?
This is Sean.
Oh, my God. I was about ready to
text
you, man.
Technology.
Oh, my God.
Technology is fantastic. It's like, boom.
Sean Horton, our soccer guy. Guy of the moment. You know, we were – that's
I'm
okay.
Down.
Go ahead.
I'm down on the ovals. You know, I'm down on the ovals. So, you know, I'm not sure I tried to, you know, dip in on what you got going on right now, but I've seen ovals and I've seen the figure eight racing. I'm assuming you're talking about racing because that's what we talk about is beer, guns, and racing, right?
Beer, guns, and racing right here on The Balance. That's what we do. Sean Horton, you know, we're joking around here, but we invited Sean to be on today to update us on some soccer. And just as I'm going on the air, I get these frantic texts. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you? Well, we won't go into all the play-by-play of the text. So, you know, that's okay. You know, one good thing about being a radio host for as many years as I've been, I've always got something back up to go to. I've got my ankle bracelet gun, if you will. My ankle bracelet. Hey, Sean, did you hear this, though? The NRA National Convention is coming right here to Indianapolis in April. We should do a live show.
How do we sign up?
Man, how do we do it, buddy? How do we do it? Sean Horton.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. How can we combine, you know, everything together?
Sean Horton, our soccer extraordinaire and just an extraordinary guy in his own right. Sean, what I want you to do real quickly here so that we don't throw you under the bus and you don't throw us under the bus. What I want you to do is bring us up to speed on everything soccer. I know we got the World Cup coming up, and we're really excited. Speaking of April, we're really excited about the Indy 11 taking the field, and certainly as we get into Indy 11, we just lost him again. So here we go. We start talking soccer. He's such a tease. Sean, give us a call back here, man. You know what? But and I was going right to his question, too. Amazing, Sean Horton. We'll try to get him back here in just a moment here. But Indy 11 takes the field in April. And really excited here in Indianapolis to talk about the Indy 11. Oops, maybe we're getting him now. I don't know. We'll see. All right, well, we're not going to be able to get him on the air here. That was not what. Well, Sean, give us a call back. Don't know what happened there, but, you know, hey, that's the beauty of live radio. We'll try to get Sean back on here in a minute. We're talking about the Indy 11, but we were also talking right before he called, and we'll try to reserve our conversation for soccer for when he calls back. But we were talking about the Indianapolis 500 and the oval or the road course. Which one do you prefer? Give us a call, 917-889-8516. You want to talk some racing, we can do that. You want to talk some soccer, we can do that. You want to talk the Olympics coming up in Sochi. You know, I'm kind of concerned, and I'm really a little worried about some of the threats of terrorism, if you will, in the Olympics. But I tell you what an exciting time it's going to be. Team USA. All the way. We got hockey, of course, figure skating. You know, I like the Winter Olympics. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the Summer Olympics. I watch the opening ceremonies every 4 years. I almost said every year, but every 4 years. But just a lot of, and we're seeing more and more and more. What's your favorite Olympic sport? We want to talk. You want to talk about that Team USA? Certainly, we've got hockey. We've got skiing. A lot of news in the skiing arena. We've got figure skating, ice skating, just everything winter that you can possibly think of, and different types of skiing. And you know, curling. I've always been interested in curling, pushing a rock, but a very, very precise game. Curling. Have you ever seen the curling? What happens is they take a big stick. It's like shuffleboard on ice, and a very interesting concept there. And I love curling. So that's one of my favorite. So what are some of your thoughts there? We're trying to get Sean Horton back on the line with us here to talk some soccer with us. And so while we try to do that, give us a call at 917-889-8516, and we'll try to talk. It is always how it is. It's always how it is. Sean, you are officially Sad Sack, my friend. So when you call back, you are going to be Sad Sacked. And I hope that we get you back on here soon so that I can publicly humiliate you. Unbelievable, that Mr. Sean Horton. By the way, you can also tweet us if you want to be a part of the show. If you want to talk about GK's baby Borg and his son got the baby Borg. Pretty cool there, actually. I don't know the last time that we saw that. Do we have Sean here? I don't think we have him yet. I think we're still trying to get him. But we'll try to get him on the line here in just a moment. We only got just a few more minutes anyway. Then we're going to get into some college hoops. $2 bill, Josh. Jimmy Kavanaugh going to be joining us. We're going to be talking some Purdue, IU, and then we're back on schedule. So, you know, Sean's loss. Our loss for not being able to talk soccer and me not being able to publicly humiliate him. Well, talk about public humiliation. Let's talk a little bit about Peyton Manning. What if Peyton Manning does not win in the postseason? How does that affect his legacy? Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, going at it. You asked for it, America. You got it. And you know what? Honestly, I don't feel bad at all for the Colts. I'm a huge Colts fan. We talk about them on the show. We love the Colts here in Indiana. But the Colts beat themselves last week. You know, quite frankly, that's what Chuck Pagano said all year long. We cannot make the mistakes that we make, and you cannot play the kind of game that you played against Kansas City against the New England Patriots. You just can't do it. So honestly, yeah, it's sad to see them lose. Brought it on themselves, though. So, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, that's the game everybody's talking about. But we got another good game going on out there in Seattle. A stadium so loud, and we talked a little bit about this with Matt Hicks last week, a stadium so loud, it actually registers on the Richter scale. Unbelievable. So you got the 49ers, you got the Seahawks. What are some good games to get us to that point? Who's it going to be in the Super Bowl? Certainly we're going to get into that conversation coming up in here in about 30 minutes or so. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? Is it going to be the Patriots and the 49ers? Is it going to be the Seahawks and the Broncos? Is it going to be the Broncos and the 49ers? Who's it going to be? Certainly we want to hear who you think is going to the Super Bowl. And let's talk about it from the other aspect of it. If Peyton Manning loses against Tom Brady and Tom Brady goes to another Super Bowl, what does that do to Peyton Manning's legacy? On the other hand, if Peyton Manning loses, if Peyton Manning wins and Tom Brady loses, what's that do for his legacy? I don't think it affects Tom Brady either which way. I think that Tom Brady has enough rings, if you will, but what does it do? Particularly, what does it do if to Peyton Manning if he loses his legacy? You know, we as fans, a lot of times we are very, very hard on players. You know how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl in the first place? It's pretty dang hard. And Peyton Manning, again, against Tom Brady, and I guess maybe what makes this billing even better is the fact that it's for the Super Bowl, and it's Tom Brady, and it's Peyton Manning. So, you know, we'll get into that conversation. You know, one of the things also that I wanted to talk about, and we certainly will here in our NFL conversation coming up here in just a few moments. I mean, well, in a half hour or so, not in a few moments. A few moments, we're going to be talking with $2 Bill Josh, Jimmy Kavanaugh. We're going to be talking some IU, Purdue. But, you know, there's a player there's a player who plays for the Seattle Seahawks. He's deaf. First deaf player ever in NFL history, Derek Coleman. And he's an offensive player. And, you know, he reads lips. Can you imagine being deaf and playing for the Seattle Seahawks, the loudest stadium in the nation? Or in the world, probably. And I'm putting that on top of some of our soccer stadiums as well. Well, I don't know what happened to Sean Horton. We will publicly hang him next time, but we got to move on with the show. My name is Sean Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. We're going to go to Elizabeth the Greek. Be right back with Jimmy Kavanaugh and $2 Bill Josh. Breaking down College Saturday. It's Hoops.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Keith.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So it's time to hit the red line and upthrust the volume out there.
It's time for...
The Elizabeth Go Green!
Thanks a lot.
Well, Elizabeth, last week you reversed your fortunes from the previous week. You actually went 3-1, so good job.
Boop! Where's this talking girl boy now?
Talking girl boy now? Wow. You're getting an inflated ego, you know that? We got two games. Let's head right into it. In the NFC, you go with the San Francisco 49ers or the Seattle Seahawks?
Seattle Seahawks.
You're going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. And in the AFC, do you go with the New England Patriots or the Denver Broncos?
New England Patriots.
Oh, you're making
New
me...
New England.
All right, who made those?
Elizabeth the Greek. Make sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That's Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rick.
Don't stop. Oh.
I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation. And on that note, which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Taken out. Number 3, Wisconsin Badgers. We don't need those stinking Badgers. How about that game? We're going to be joined by Jimmy Kavanaugh. Right now, though, I believe it's $2 bill. Josh, are you with us, sir?
I am. How are you this morning, Tom?
Man, I'm pickled tink, as they would say. I tell you what a great game. We're going to save some of that conversation for Jimmy Kavanaugh, hoping that he'll call here in just a moment. I'm not having good luck with people calling in today. I don't know exactly what that's all about, but we're going to move forward here. It's College Saturday. We're going to be breaking down some college games over the next 30 minutes. And at 10 o'clock, Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show, 1260 AM, going to be joining us. Going to be talking about that big showdown against the Broncos and the Patriots. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Real quickly, Josh, man, that's going to be a shootout.
I do believe it's going to be a shootout. And Tommy sent me a text last Saturday, and I thought about it. I can't do it. I can't be one of the fair weather Colts fans who all of a sudden going to jump back behind Peyton. Sorry, can't do it.
Hey, man, you know what? I put several I'm rooting for Peyton Manning. I'm rooting for the Broncos, guilty as charged. I'm not a fair weather fan. I've been a Bronco fan. Actually, I was a Bronco fan before Peyton Manning ever went there. I like the Broncos. I think they're a good organization. And obviously, back in the days when John Elway played with us, so I'm a Bronco fan. And you know, as a kid, I lived in Colorado for a little bit, so I have some Bronco influence. So I am a Bronco fan. But it is fun to see Peyton Manning in it against Tom Brady for the 15th time, going at it. Well, let's break down some college hoops. That's what it is right now, College Saturday. Man, a lot going on in college basketball. And we're going to get into the IU conversation. But last week, myself, you, and Evan Williams talked about Purdue, talked about IU getting a win, talking about Purdue getting a win. They both got a win. So, you know, one could argue that we're having the same conversation yet continued today. Matt Painter, Coach Crean, and you obviously had some thoughts last week saying that Coach Crean isn't the right coach for IU. Well, you look at it, Purdue beat Nebraska. And that would be saying a lot if it's football. But that's not saying a lot basketball. IU beat Wisconsin. My friend, that's saying a lot. I don't care who you are, to knock off a number 3 team like IU did. What say you, Mr. $2 Bill Josh?
Way to go, Tom Crean. You're going to get to come back for another year, and you're still going to be the wrong coach. And shame on you, Indiana Hoosier fans. Really, you stormed the court because we beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin. The Badgers, not Michigan State, not Ohio State, not Kentucky, not Louisville, Wisconsin. Shame on you, Indiana fans. You should know better. This is Indiana. We don't celebrate Big Ten titles, and we don't celebrate beating Wisconsin.
Let me ask you something. What would it take? Why are you so hard on Coach Crean?
He has one job at Indiana University. Hang national championship banners. Make it to the Final Four. As of yet, he's done neither.
So, in other words, unless he makes it to the Final Four or the national championship game, he's a lousy coach.
no, he's the wrong coach for Indiana because this is Indiana University. That's the expectations of Indiana University, just like the head football coach at Alabama knows he won national championships and nothing else.
Really? Who's tired of seeing Alabama win national championships? I am. I'm hoping this playoffs put us in a situation to where just because you're Alabama doesn't mean that you're in the national championship game. You've got to earn your right. And we've got a thing in place called March Madness, and we're going to see something similar to that in the playoff system. So we don't have time to get into college football. But just because you're a certain team does not dictate the win, if you will. So let's talk a little bit about Big Ten basketball, moving around the hoops this week, if you will. I want to talk here in just a moment. I'm hoping that we'll get joined by Jimmy the intern. If not, you and I will jump into this conversation with IU in Wisconsin. But right now, what I want to talk about is that Purdue-Nebraska game. Good game between the both of them. I don't know that anything on that really set the world on fire in my eyes.
No, neither team really set the world on fire. It's good, solid win for the Boilermakers, the type of win you have to have if you want to make the March Madness tournament. Type of loss you can't have. Nebraska's not going anywhere in March. They might be going to recruit in March, but they ain't going to any basketball tournaments, except maybe the one right here in Indianapolis. Good win for Purdue, and they didn't impress them, but at least they got the win.
Well, let's talk about some of the games going on today, and we'll get to IU and Northwestern starting at 2:30. I know that game is going on, but we got some other games. We'll start at the late game tonight, Michigan State and Illinois. Two powerhouses. I think this is a good, good game, good matchup to kind of see the direction where the Big Ten is headed. We look at Michigan State and Illinois. What are your thoughts?
Should be a great game. I believe that game's at 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. Michigan State might be the Big Ten's only hope for the national championship, although Illinois teams want to have a little bit to say about that, and they're a much improved team from last season. I look for it to be an 80-75 type score.
An 85 what?
85-75 type score.
Well, let me ask you this. I tell you what, you look at the Spartans in the game against Ohio State, suffocated themselves, if you will, in a devastating loss on January 7th before winning in overtime. And then they had to rally to beat Minnesota in OT last Saturday. I don't think Michigan State's that good of a team this year.
You serious, Tom? You really don't think Michigan State's good?
I think they're good. I think they beat IU, but I don't know that they're – as good of a team as everybody wants to paint them out to be.
Well, in my projected bracket, I currently have Michigan State as the number one seed, so I will say I strongly disagree with that. And at most, Michigan State will lose two Big Ten games.
Well, I think it's a little early to be filling out our brackets. Come on now. It's a little early to be filling out our brackets. Let's talk about this other Michigan game, Michigan-Wisconsin. Obviously, Wisconsin coming off a loss from IU. They got something to prove. And really, they haven't had much time to recover from that just a defensive mess that Wisconsin had, but really, really allowed IU to come back and win that game. When you look at that IU-Wisconsin game, thoughts about Coach Green aside, you got to look at IU played a good game, Wisconsin played a lousy game, which resulted in a win. But what are some of the things that we can extract from that game, IU and Wisconsin?
Well, Wisconsin's only as good as their defense is, and they always have been, always will be, and their defense wasn't very good Tuesday night against Indiana. But they're playing a Michigan team that has four starters out with injuries, really has nobody left. So if you're Wisconsin and you need to get well, go play Michigan.
So as you look at this game between Michigan and Wisconsin, what are some of the keys to this game? And will Wisconsin bounce back for a win against Michigan today?
I think Wisconsin definitely bounces back with a win today. Keys can Wisconsin stop Michigan from hitting the three, because can Wisconsin hit the three, and how much of a factor will the crowd be?
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were gonna say something else. Well, let's talk about another game going on. Penn State Purdue. Nittany Lions against the Boilermakers. Will the Boilermakers boil up or boil down? Boil down.
I think Purdue's going to get a big win today. A.J. Hammond's going to have a good game. Purdue's going to continue to develop their backcourt. They're going to continue to develop their bench. And it should be a good, strong win for Purdue today against Penn State. As I know IU and Purdue, I want to say, play next week, and if not next week, and they play Super Bowl weekend, so that game's in the near future.
Well, we're going to go away from the Big Ten here for just a moment. I want to talk a little bit about the Horizon League. Now, you told me last night that you think the Horizon League is crap. But, you know, we've got some good teams there. Even though Rice State isn't from Indiana, you look at Valpo. Valpo of Milwaukee going at it today, 2 o'clock. When you look at the Horizon League, one, why do you say that the Horizon League is crap? And two, what has to happen? I guess that's where I'm going at with this. What has to happen out of the Horizon League in March?
Well, somebody's going to get an automatic bid, go to the first round of the tournament, get killed by a number one seed, and that's going to be the end of the Horizon League for this season. Absolutely no talent, no coaching, no notable players in that conference, and I refuse to watch that conference because I don't like wasting my time.
Really? And yet you're calling this show. Unbelievable. You and I are only listeners here. No, I'm just kidding. So let's talk about this game today, Milwaukee-Valpo. And you know what? Valpo, a lot of times, as we get later on in the season, and you talk about a team that might get that number one bid that you just talked about, Valpo would be one I have my eyes on.
Well, Valpo's coached by Bryce Drew, so I follow Bryce Drew a little bit, mainly because I think he'd be a great fit for Indiana University sometime in the near future. But it should be a good win for Valpo there.
All right, let's look over at the other game in the Horizon League today, 7:05 Detroit against YSU. Detroit, pretty strong defensively team. When you look at these two teams' matchup, and you talk about not very good teams, I think one would argue that Detroit is a very good team.
Well, you can make that argument if you want, Tom, but I'm going to refer back to the top 25 poll. Are they in the top 25? Not a very good team.
What you're saying is that if you're not a top 25 team, you're not a good team. If you're not the only way to get in a top 25 team, let's face it. If you're a team like IU or a team like Michigan State, I don't. How much of a chance does a team like Detroit have anyway of even becoming to be ranked in the first place?
Well, they have a great chance. All you got to do is schedule the right teams. When they beat the teams on your schedule, get to 16-2, 18-0, you'll get a chance. As is, nobody outside the top 25 can really get to 16-2, 18-0. So,
well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Newsflash: the teams don't schedule their matches. If that was the case, IU would be playing Ben Davis in Center Grove. Or high school, or, you know, Division II schools. Come on now. Strength of schedule. So I think it's I don't know how they come about picking your schedule. I think a lot of it has to do with your wins and losses. I think a lot of it's random. But more than importantly, I'm not a big proponent of strength of schedule. That's how you win and how you lose. No, you lose and you win by playing good ball and good ball. Let's talk about the. Hey, Darth Vader, are you with me?
Sorry, Tom.
Jeez, you're like, I am your father, Luke. I am your father.
Well, I am the balance of hoop father, so.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the Big East, and looks like we're going to have to publicly humiliate Jimmy Kavanaugh as well, as it doesn't look like he's going to join us. But let's get into the Big East a little bit. We got Seton Hall, Georgetown, Marquette, Butler. Good game over there on CBS today at 2 o'clock. The Bulldogs against, well, Tom Crean's old team, Marquette. What are your thoughts?
Brandon Miller, you knew this was going to be a long season that gets even longer today. Marquette's going to run Butler right out of the building. Butler doesn't have a prayer. this year, mainly because they don't have any big guys. Brad Stevens left the building, and they really don't have the talent. They're used to having a Butler, but hanging their Butler is going to be tough for a couple of years. You'll eventually get the right recruits on your roster. As of right now, they were built to play in the Horizon League and not with the big boys.
Well, Brad Stevens built that, and but I would venture to say that Butler is still playing with the team that Brad Stevens put together. So would Butler have a different outcome this year of what's going on right now? Would they not? Would they be struggling just as much if Brad Stevens hadn't left the building?
They would be struggling just as much. Why do you think Brad Stevens took the Celtics job? Among the reasons was he knew this is going to be a bad year for Butler. That would tarnish his chances at a future employment, so take it while you're still a highly sought commodity.
Also over in the Big East, we got DePaul Villanova today at 4 o'clock, Dartmouth St. John's, and Creighton Providence in the late game over at 8 o'clock. Well, certainly as we get geared up and we begin to watch teams throughout the month of March, we'll kind of go around the clock, if you will, be and talk about the AP Top 25 that you talked about. Certainly, not to take anything away from those teams, but I think a lot of times it's skewed in a lot of ways. I mean, look, we got Kentucky and Tennessee today, Oklahoma and Baylor, USC, Colorado, Duke, in SCU, Memphis as well. So let's talk about some of these top 25 teams, where they might be at, and in March. Tennessee, Kentucky, obviously going to be there. Kentucky's going to be there. Let's look at this game. Let's break down this SEC powerhouse today.
Kentucky is finally becoming who we thought they would be. They struggled to get it up at the beginning of the season. That's Sean Calipari every year. Plugs in seven new freshmen. A whole new team. She has to start the building process all over again. But they're finally becoming who they thought we were. And Julius Randle's the best big man in college basketball. And Larry Bird, find a way to move up into the draft and take Julius Randle.
You know, I'm going to get off point here for just a moment. Did you see Paul George's socks he was wearing, Larry Bird's socks? Did you see
those
that?
Those socks are classic.
You talk about ass-kissing. That was great. I shared that on my Facebook, by the way. I love it. Fantastic. But you said Larry Bird made me go all ADD on you there. Let's talk about Oklahoma Baylor. I like the Bears. Good game, good matchup against Oklahoma. Certainly, I look for Baylor Bears. Again, that's one of these teams I look to be in the Sweet 16 this year.
They're both Sweet 16 caliber teams, but I definitely think Baylor will be there. They're coached by Scott Drew, also a Valparaiso product. Also spent some time as a Valparaiso head coach. So maybe Valpo has that going for it. They develop coaches. They move on. They get a new coach. They develop him. Should be a great game. Baylor's stacked, and maybe he could win the national title.
Baylor in a national title? Well, you know, that would be an interesting twist. I don't know that that's where we're at with it, but I certainly think that they're going to be a Sweet 16 team. Let's talk about those Blue Devils, Duke NC versus NCSU. Man, if any year that you could pick Duke to win a national championship, it's this year.
Absolutely not.
I knew that would get you going. I'm telling you, though, dude, Duke will be right there in the Final Four. You heard it first right here, El Presidente, Duke, Final Four.
First round tournament games, for those of you who don't know, start on Thursday, March 20th. And by Friday, March 21st, Coach K, you're going to be out on the recruiting trail because your season is going to be over because you're absolutely pathetic. So stop slapping the floor like an idiot and go get some talent.
If he doesn't make it to the Final Four, does he make it to the unemployment line? I don't think his job's in jeopardy per se. But no, honestly, you know, we joke around about this, and we joke around about Duke getting to the Final Four as we do every year. But I honestly think that they'll get there, and not because necessarily of the talent and on paper, but they'll get there because of the coaching and the ability and the history and the mentality that they have as an organization.
I'm going to contradict something I said not even 5 minutes ago, but the coaching time really is Coach K going to suit up. So he's going to put on number 32, put the ball in the basket, grab some rebounds, get some assists and steals. Otherwise, he ain't really going to help him much.
$2 bill, Josh, and it's 5 minute retractions. You know, here's another game going on today. Florida Auburn. Love the Gators in basketball. Love the Gators in football. Obviously, had a great year this year, and I think they're going to carry it on this year as we move on into March. Good game today at 4 o'clock over on ESPN. ESPN 3. I'm sorry, Florida and Auburn. Are you there, Josh?
Yes, Casey Prather is back today for the Florida Gators as the Gators look to continue to climb their march to the top five of the college basketball poll and maybe a number one seed come March. Later this week, I will be released. I'll be sending Tom my first bracket. I just finished it last night. I'm going to fine-tune it after today's game. So right now I have Florida a 2 seed.
Probably a very good point there. I'm not going to argue that point too much. Another Final Four team that I think we're going to be talking about, Oklahoma State versus Kansas. The Jayhawks always there. This year's no different.
Absolutely. When is our good friend from Kansas going to join us? Consider this an open invitation to come and talk Jayhawk basketball with us next week. But Kansas is becoming who they thought we were, and Oklahoma State's always been who we thought we were. That should be a very good defensive and high-scoring game today.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Preston Barr. I'm not sure. I haven't talked with him since last season, so I'll try to get Preston on the show with us and see if he could talk to Jayhawks with us. Pittsburgh-Syracuse. I don't know that Pitt and the Orange is any surprises there. I think that that they're a little bit overrated. Syracuse is definitely overrated this year. So I'm not really excited about either one of these teams. But if I was to say one of them go deeper out of these two teams, I think Pitt has a good opportunity at least going to the Elite Eight.
Well, I wish I had a sound cue of my own right now, because Syracuse today, you're the team the bell tolls for. You enter today undefeated. You're not going to leave the day that way. Pitt's going to finally shut their scoring, Syracuse high-scoring offense down, and Syracuse is going to get their first loss of 2014.
Right, and there again, like I said, no surprises between these two teams. And I guess I should go on a little bit further. Nothing there surprises me, meaning that they're great teams. I'm certainly not taking anything away from Syracuse. Obviously, they're a great team. What I mean is there's no surprises there. I don't anticipate they're going to get there in March. They're going to go deep. Both of them are. And if I was to pick one of the two of them to go deeper, I think Pitt would be the one to do that. Iowa State and Texas, also UCLA and Utah. DePaul, Villanova, Cincinnati, South Florida. Here's another good game. I like watching the Bearcats, and certainly I think this is a good game. And really, here's another deep-seated thing. Depending on where the seeds land in March, obviously we got a little bit of time before that comes together. But the Bearcats, certainly a good team to watch to go into March.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Cincinnati is a good team to watch going into March. They should make the Sweet 16. Anything less than that should be a disappointment for Cincinnati. It's going to be a great day of college basketball, Tim.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's one thing about, you know, we got College Saturday on football, but it just gets even better. One of the great things about basketball as opposed to football is you got so many more choices and so many more good teams. We've already talked about Michigan and Wisconsin as well, and Michigan State and Illinois. Here's another good game tonight, late night, ESPN 3, ESPN as well. Louisville, Connecticut, you got the Huskies, and you got the Cardinals going at it. I mean, really, if you want to watch college basketball and sit back and be a fan, stay up late and watch this Louisville-Connecticut game today, tonight.
Yes, it should be a great game. It's going to be my nightcap of the college basketball day. Look for Louisville to win, but Tom, that's only a late start if, you know, you're in your late 40s, early 50s. Otherwise, it's just a normal dinner time start.
That's probably true. You know, me being 45 years old, that is a late start. You know, you go from there into David Letterman and asleep before he's done with his monologue. So, hey, you know, we all grow old. So, you know, your days are coming, youngin. Your days are coming. All right, let's do some recapping here. $2 bill, Josh. While we still got a few minutes here before we're joined at the top of the hour by Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show. We'll be breaking down that big old game, the Broncos, the Patriots. Let's talk a little NFL. Let's get geared up. Let's do a little teaser. We've got the Broncos and the Patriots. We've got the Seahawks, and we've got the 49ers. Let's look at the road to this. What led to this? What brought it on? Let's talk about the NFC first. The Seattle Seahawks, we talked about them all year long. And I said all year long, do not eliminate the Seattle Seahawks. Here we go. Seattle Seahawks, San Francisco 49ers. This is a – I really am impressed with both matchups. Wow. When we get to the Super Bowl, we're going to truly have the two best teams in the NFL.
I absolutely agree. Seattle and San Francisco should be a great game. Jim Harbaugh, I'm going to join the rest of the national media and say, please wear different pants. The khakis are ridiculous. They make you look stupid.
Yeah, wear different pants. Hey, that's Jim Harbaugh. You know, he's a former Colt himself. And by the way, he was Jim Harbaugh in true fashion. And you want to talk about a team that overcomes some bad calls. San Francisco overcomes some bad calls. If I didn't know better, I would have thought the refs were paid against that San Francisco game. Unbelievable.
I would absolutely agree with that. It should be a great game. San Francisco's been my pick since August to win the Super Bowl, and they're still my pick to win the Super Bowl.
All right, let's talk about it. It's here. It's happened. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning for the Super Bowl. America wanted it. Every network wants it. This is what the network executives are licking their chops about. Peyton Manning, number 18, against Tom Brady. Let's ask this question. If Peyton Manning loses, does that hurt his legacy? If Peyton Manning wins, does that help his legacy? Or either which way, is nothing going to affect Peyton Manning's legacy after the year he's had this year?
Well, it absolutely hurts his legacy. And Tom Brady can ask Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning the same question. You can look at either one of the present Colts quarterback, the old Colts quarterback, and go, boys, who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Bill Belichick. That's your daddy. Well, let's talk about Bill Belichick. Let's look at that game last week against the Colts. The Colts beat themselves. You know, and that's what I said earlier. I don't really feel sorry for the Indianapolis Colts. They didn't deserve to win. They didn't win, and you can't go in there and play the kind of game that they did against at home against the New England Patriots. And the result's always going to be the same. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady win at home. And the way to beat them is not the way the Indianapolis Colts played last week against the New England Patriots.
No, if you're the Colts, the way to beat the Patriots is to have some other team do it for you, unfortunately, as we're all diehard Colts fans here. But the Colts organization has yet to figure out a way to solve the Patriots puzzle in time. They've been working on it for a decade now, so you got to ask, will they ever get it solved?
Good question. I don't know. All right, well, let's talk about this. Let's break down the game here while we got just a couple more minutes left here. Let's talk about the Patriots. Let's talk about the Broncos. What has to happen for the Denver Broncos to beat the New England Patriots for the Super Bowl?
And I apologize in advance for my answer to this question. It's not really meant to be as funny as it's going to be, but the Patriots need to have a strong blunt if they want to beat the Broncos.
You know, I tweeted out this. I said, marijuana must be legal in Massachusetts as well, because all we're seeing tonight is blunts. Absolutely, LeGarrette Blount is the key there. You've got to stop him. You know, here's the thing. I think if you could put some pressure on Tom Brady, six in the box, I think that you can do well. Well, real quickly, $2 bill, Josh. Are you gonna hang around for the NFL conversation with myself and Derek Schultz? You gotta go.
I gotta go. Hopefully, I'll see you tomorrow, Tom, for the AFC Championship game, and I'll join you next Saturday at 9:30.
All right, $2 bill, Josh. Talking some college hoops with us. I am breaking down IU and that Wisconsin game. We don't need those stinking Badgers. How about those Hoosiers? Contrary to what $2 bill Josh says, I firmly believe that Tom Crean is the man for the job down there in Bloomington. Guys, we'll be right back. Myself and Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show, 1260 AM. Going to break down some more NFL talk. It's the 49ers and the Seahawks, and you guessed it, the Patriots and the Broncos. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. We'll be right back.
We're back up in the woods among the evergreens.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec leagues.
In nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans. When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the final hour. It is the final hour, and I tell you what, we are just jumping into this NFL conversation. I was just talking some college hoops with $2 bill Josh. IU beating Wisconsin, can you believe it? Join now two of my favorite guests. As you know, all my guests are favorite, but I tell you what, these two are my favorite guys to talk to. Derek Schultz, the Schultz Aquarius Show, and you know him well, at 1260 AM local here in Indianapolis. And my good friend Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, is also joining us. How are we doing, guys? Are you there, Derek?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Man, it's good to have you on board with us. Are you thawed out here?
Yeah, I am, but supposedly we're supposed to get another, half a foot today? So this has been, I've lived out here for about 7 or 8 years, and I can't recall any time where it's been this snowy over the course of a month.
Well, you're certainly where you're from in your neck of the woods, up in the Northeast. I think you're used to this kind of weather. And certainly our next guest here, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and with Calkins Media, is used to this. You know, 2 to 3, 5 inches, 6 inches is a cakewalk to you, right, Ed?
Well, you know, this year it's been more than usual, I have to say. It's been last couple winters was pretty tame compared to what we're seeing now. And, of course, you know, a lot of the country saw what the snowball that we had here a few weeks back with the Lions and the Eagles. That was just so much fun to watch that game and 8 inches of snow. But we don't have anything like that here today. It's sunny skies, windy, very cold, but I don't see a speck of snow anywhere I look. So that's a good thing.
Well, this weekend we've got to deal with the Alberta Clipper. Clipper, I guess, is what they're calling it, and last week was the Polar Vortex. And speaking of a vortex, we've got a game going on that'll send chills through your spine no matter who you are. We've got Peyton Manning, Tom Brady going at it for the Super Bowl. One of those guys is going to get to the Super Bowl. One of those great quarterbacks is going to get to the Super Bowl. So we'll start with Derek Schultz, local radio here in Indianapolis on 1260 AM of the Query and Schultz Show. Certainly driving you home every evening, and you guys have been talking about this all week long. So what say you, Derek? Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Super Bowl, a perfect storm.
Yeah, it's what we thought we were going to get last year, and we didn't get. It's what we thought we were going to get in 2007 and didn't get. It's what we thought we were going to get in 2009 and didn't get. I mean, there were a lot of times where we thought it was inevitable that it was going to be Brady versus Manning. That's why it's so hard to believe that it's been 7 years since these two guys met up in the playoffs. But the teams are so different now. I don't think we can compare what happened in 2003 and 2004 to what's happened with this team, or in 2006 even, because the faces have changed. I mean, Denver is built similar to what those Indianapolis offenses were built, but obviously Becker and Thomas, and, you know, it's not Dallas Clark and Harrison and Wayne and guys like that anymore. But I can't remember the last time that I was looking forward so much to both games, because you've got the two stalwarts, the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks going head-to-head in the AFC game. And then in the NFC, you have Wilson and Kaepernick, who might be the next kind of addition of Brady and Manning, right? Division rivals, two guys that are very different, two teams that don't particularly like each other. So as much as I enjoyed watching the Giants and the Ravens and the Steelers and some of these Cinderella teams that marched through the playoffs the last couple of years, I think it's really neat to finally have legitimately the four best NFL teams still standing as the Final Four.
Well, absolutely, and I said that earlier with $2 Bill Josh. We truly are going to have the two best teams in the NFL, much like the two best guys on Afternoon Drive here in Indianapolis, Query and Schultz. I know you guys don't really like each other. You guys just do it for the show, but you have a lot of fun. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. As you look at this matchup, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, what say you, sir?
Well, I agree with Derek. I mean, I don't think the NFL could have scripted this any better with these four teams. And when I look at Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, that's just a dream matchup, really. I'm very anxious for that game. I'm glad it's the first game. You know, we'll get it out of the way. We'll see the two best quarterbacks play in the game, two first ballot Hall of Famers probably when their careers are done. But, there's more than just Brady and Manning. Obviously, there's the rest of those teams. And, you know, it seems like the Patriots did a terrific job running the ball last week in their rather easy victory over the Colts. I think they're going to try to run the ball again against the Broncos. They had a lot of success with that last week. I can see them continuing it this week. On the other hand, the Broncos running game, I don't think is as good as the Patriots, so a lot of it's going to fall on Peyton's shoulders to win this game for Denver. And, you know, I wasn't really impressed with the Broncos last week in their win over the Chargers. I thought they probably should have done a little bit better against the Chargers, probably won by more than what they did. So I like the way New England's playing right now, better than the Broncos.
Derek, I didn't get a chance to hear you guys' official picks on your show, but I know the two of you never agree on anything. So do you guys have a split pick between the Patriots and the Broncos, or are you guys pretty much settled on the Broncos?
No, he took New England to start the playoffs. Originally, our Super Bowl picks, I think Jake might have had Pittsburgh, but I had Atlanta in the NFC, so, you know, we all make bad mistakes. But I had Denver at the beginning of the season. I stuck with that, so... And I still think that they win tomorrow. You look at New England, and the thing that you have to do to beat Denver is you have to score points. And this offense, I know it's good enough against the Colts defense to march up and down the field with LeGarrette Blount, but it's going to have to be more than that to beat Denver. Really, you need about 30 points to beat Denver, regardless of how good your defense plays. So at home, I think it'll be close, and I think Brady will keep them in the game. But I still like Denver to win on their home field. And if Manning can't do it,
with this team, then maybe those narratives were all true. Because what a lot of people say here in Indianapolis is, well, Peyton Manning never had the teams that Tom Brady had, and that's why he didn't go to the three Super Bowls and win like Brady did earlier in his career. And while that's probably true, nobody would argue that this Denver team is worse than this New England team. I mean, it's amazing that the Patriots are even here considering the injuries that they've had to overcome.
Well, absolutely. You know what? We asked this question a while ago, and I'll propose the same question to you. If Peyton Manning loses, does that hurt his legacy? If he wins, does it help his legacy? I don't think it does either or for Tom Brady. I think his legacy is pretty established. I think that is a question that everybody's asking, and we know that marijuana is legal in Colorado because – I tell you what, that's a good thing because there's a lot of blunts headed that way to Denver. Bum. You know, I'm not as funny as Schultz and Query, but every now and then I come up with something. You know, see Derek, on my show you get the first billing. Your show is officially called the Query Schultz Show, and those of us here in Indianapolis drive home to you guys every single day. So love listening to you 1260 AM. Ed Kratz. Does Peyton Manning's legacy on the hinge here if he wins or loses?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Peyton Manning could throw 10 touchdowns and they could lose, and you're going to say Peyton can't win in the playoffs. You know, it's really unfair, but, you know, it is what it is. The record says you are what you are, and if, you know, he doesn't find a way to win this game, if he throws 10 touchdowns and he has the ball in his hands with a chance to win the game and he doesn't get it done at the end, then sure, his legacy will be tarnished by that. You know, Brady, you're right, does already have his legacy cemented here. And it is amazing that the New England Patriots are here. But I'll tell you what, I know Derek's going with Denver. I'm going with New England. I just think, you know, when you look at the coaching matchup with Bill Belichick versus John Fox, I give the edge to Belichick. Tom Brady is 7-0 against defenses coordinated by Jack Del Rio. I think that's an advantage. He really knows what Jack Del Rio tries to do defensively. And it is going to be a high-scoring game, I think. I think the over-under is 59 points in this game, and I would take the over. I know the last time they met, it was a pretty low-scoring game early on, and then it really heated up as the game wore on, and the offenses kind of got revved up. So, you know, I expect more of the same. I expect a lot of points. It could be the kind of game whoever has that ball last in their hands to make a play is going to win this game, and it'll be interesting to see if that's Manning or Brady.
Well, I tell you what, certainly everybody here in Indianapolis is rooting for number 18 and Peyton Manning. Let me ask you this, Derek. If Peyton Manning doesn't pull it off, does he retire or does he stay with us a couple more years?
No, I think there's a 0% chance that he retires coming off a season where he threw for 5,500 yards and 55 touchdowns. I mean, it's just not going to happen. If he's healthy, there's no way that he's going to walk into the sunset and be satisfied, even if he wins. Because there's been some talk, well, if Denver wins the Super Bowl, will Manning's legacy be secure enough where he would walk away? I don't think he feels like his legacy is ever secure because there are people out there that think that Manning needs to win two more Super Bowls in order to secure his legacy. And, you know, I've never been big on the whole, well, you have to have this many rings to be great, because nobody would argue that Terry Bradshaw is a better quarterback than Brett Favre. Nobody would argue that Bradshaw is better than Marino, and Marino has no championships. So I don't think it's just about the championships, but yeah, I mean, naturally, when we compare guys that play in the same era like Marino and Montana, it's hard not to look at what their teams did and how much success that they had and use that at least somewhat of a measuring stick. But as far as retirement, unless a doctor goes to Peyton Manning in February and says, look, man, you're going to be a paraplegic if you try to come back and play next year, that is the only way that I see him retiring.
Right, and then you got to ask, you got to wonder, with Peyton Manning and all of his influence, will a doctor ever be that doctor brave enough to tell Peyton Manning you can't go back on the field? But hopefully cooler heads will prevail in that. Let's talk about what did the Fox say, guys. John Fox, certainly, he talked on an interview that he fishes a lot, and had he been out fishing, out on his boat, he probably wouldn't be here today. Is this it for John Fox, and does John Fox have to win a Super Bowl to stay with Denver? We'll start with you, Ed.
Well, yeah, you know, obviously Fox has had the health issues, and, you know, that's a concern, just like Peyton is a concern. You know, Peyton will play for as long as he wants to play because you're right, he'll influence any doctor that gives him any sort of advice, and, you know, you just have to worry about long-term with Peyton if he's going to be able to have any sort of mobility to turn around when he's 45 years old. And you know, the pain that that's, he may have to live the rest of his life in. You know, he may already be beyond that point. And, you know, I think the same thing is true with John Fox. Is, you know, he missed time on the sidelines to deal with his health issue. And you have to wonder that, you know, maybe the stress of the game, it wouldn't be a bad thing for him to step away and get away from the game. But, again, these guys are so ultra-competitive and so super-competitive that you almost have to drag them off unless, you know, unless they're getting better advice from their wives or whomever's in their life. But I can see John Fox, if he wins a Super Bowl, maybe stepping down. Or even if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, I don't think they would fire him or get rid of him. But, you know, you have to think, if you're John Fox, you have to think, okay, you know, what are the health ramifications in me staying on the sidelines? And I think that'll be a big factor for any decision that he makes.
Derek, as we know very well, a great coach Tony Dungy was before he ever came to Indianapolis. But Peyton Manning has a way of making coaches great coaches and good coaches great coaches. And I think that's what he's done with John Fox. But more particularly, I think now we're paying more attention to one, Mr. Jack Del Rio. Even if he doesn't stay with Denver, even if the reins aren't handed down to Denver, wouldn't you say that Peyton Manning made Jack Del Rio look like a better coach than he really is? Del Rio, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, that's probably true about a lot of different quarterbacks. I mean, what was Pete Carroll doing in Seattle before Russell Wilson got there, right?
Sure.
You know, Jim Harbaugh had a guy that was a steady influence and a leader at quarterback in Alex Smith when he first took the reins in San Francisco, and I think that helped ease his transition, and the guy's probably the second-best coach in the league right now. So I think you could say that about just about anybody. The thing with Del Rio is that if he wants to be a head coach again, I think Denver's success is important here, even though he's technically not the guy anymore, because we naturally associate these guys with success and things like that. And in the NFL, just like in the NBA, you see retread head coaches all the time. I mean, Jim Caldwell just got another job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anything's possible if he wants to coach again. As far as Fox is concerned, I think he's actually – underrated as a coach, because you look at the success that he had in Carolina. Ron Rivera is just starting to rediscover that now, almost 10 years later. To go to a Super Bowl, those Carolina teams had some talented defenses. They had some playmakers, but Jake Del Holm at quarterback, you know, it wasn't like it was a who's who of talent that he had on those teams. And I think he got them to consistently win, and he's done a nice job in Denver so far. So I actually think, if anything, we might underrate his influence on what he's done over there with the Broncos.
Well, it's easy to talk about Brady and Manning. Let's talk about San Francisco and Seattle. And, you know, on this very show a few weeks ago, I said, do not eliminate Seattle. Seattle has got a great team this year, and they're playing at home. If anybody has the home field advantage, Ed, it's Seattle. You were just out there a few weeks ago. You know very, very well what the 12th man, and I think the 12th man is actually on payroll out there at Seattle.
Yeah, that place. Well, it's just the way the stadium is built, too. I mean, it's just, you know, it's designed to keep the sound in. And, you know, I was out there when they were building that. I got a tour of it before it even opened back in 2002. And that was their big selling point when they gave the tour, was this is what we're doing to keep noise in. And those end zone seats that are right up against the field, I mean, they are right up against the field. And the way they have the roof angled just above the seats along the sidelines, it's designed to keep the noise in. And that place really does get loud, where they're measuring it, you know, with seismograph machines, you know, to see how loud those crowds get. So, but you know what? Look, hey, Seattle lost there earlier this year. Arizona went in and beat them. So they are not unbeatable at home. And the 49ers certainly have played there often enough to know exactly what that crowd is all about, the sort of noise that they're going to expect. And if anybody's equipped to handle that sort of a 12th man, it would be the 49ers. If it was the Carolina Panthers who had won last week and were headed west to play in Seattle, I would have some reservations. But I certainly think the 49ers can win there and handle that 12th man no problem. The question to me is, are they going to be able to handle the defense the Seahawks are going to put on the field?
Well, certainly by I don't think anybody's going to argue they have the best defense in the NFL, which is truly why we would say that we have the – no matter who goes to the Super Bowl, we're going to have the two best teams going to the Super Bowl. Derek, the 49ers and the Seahawks. Jim Harbaugh goes in, beats the Seahawks at home in that stadium. What does that say for his legacy?
Well, I mean, I think it's early to be talking about legacy for Harbaugh, because this is only year three, but – it's hard to ignore what he's been able to do immediately. You know, he took a team at Stanford. That program was dead. That program was lifeless. I mean, they won one game in 05, 06, and look at where they are now. I mean, they go to the Rose Bowl seemingly every single year. They punch Oregon right in the mouth every single year. He built the groundwork for that. And the Niners were a disaster. The Niners were completely irrelevant in the 2000s. And Mike Singletary couldn't make a ham sandwich out of what the talent that they had there. And he comes in there and he starts winning right away. I mean, if you really think about it, guys, if not for Kyle Williams in that NFC Championship game, we're probably talking about San Francisco with the chance to go to three straight Super Bowls. In this era, that's unheard of to do something like that. So I can't give him enough credit for what he's done. I mean, he's amazing. He might not be the best guy to, you know, have a beer with. He might be a little bit abrasive, but he's a tremendous head coach. But you got to talk about the Seattle and the home field advantage. If there is one team that I think negates home field advantage or any of the outside circumstances, it's San Francisco. Because what I really like about them is that they can play any sort of style in any type of conditions in any sort of stadium in front of any sort of crowd. And I don't know how many NFL teams that you can really say that about. Look at what they did at Lambeau. The conditions, you know, it's negative 10 degrees, and they're this West Coast team, and you think, oh, boy, well, they're in for some trouble. And they go in there, and they play Green Bay's game, and they out-physical them, and they come through, and they win. They do the same thing in Carolina. If you want to light it up and get up and down the field, they can do that. So they can beat you in so many different ways that I think they're the one team that really has a puncher's chance going into Seattle, which is clearly the best home field advantage in the league.
Well, certainly, and I think what we're looking at here, guys, with the 49ers and the Seahawks, no matter who wins this, is we're writing a chapter of rivalries, if you will, and Ed certainly chime in on this, but would you say that the Seahawks and the 49ers are on the verge of a rivalry like the 49ers and the Cowboys?
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, rivalries are usually forged in the playoffs. You know, you look at Pittsburgh-Baltimore, what a rivalry that's become, and you know, this is when rivalries are kind of are born and made is in the postseason, and then they carry over into the regular season. So, yeah, I absolutely think San Francisco and Seattle is a rival. Even geographically, it's very close in proximity to each other. You know, relatively speaking, it's not a cross-country thing, but they are close geographically. And, you know, they don't like each other much. It's going to be a lot of pushing and shoving and a lot of physicality on both sides of the ball. And, yeah, I think it has the makings of a terrific rivalry, especially with the coaches, Harbaugh and Carroll. You know, they coached against each other when they were with Stanford and with USC. And, you know, that's a rivalry in the coaching ranks that stems back to their college days. So, you know, I absolutely think it's a rivalry to keep an eye on. These teams have terrific rosters going forward even. So, you know, these teams aren't going to get bad anytime soon. They're going to be at the top of the NFC here for a few more years yet. So,
and you know,
it'll
and you
be interesting
guys,
to see how it all plays out, yeah.
What makes it such a great rivalry, and what makes all great rivalries great is that you have two things that are different. That are, in a lot of cases, they're polar opposites. And that's what you have here, I think, with the two quarterbacks, because you've got Colin Kaepernick, who's kind of this brash, you know, cocked sideways hat. He's got the tattoos. He kisses the biceps when he gets in the end zone. He's the epitome of flash and the epitome of the new age athlete. And then you have Russell Wilson, who's kind of a throwback. He's clean cut. He keeps to himself for the most part. He's not flamboyant at all. And he just kind of goes out there and does his job. And he's the kind of guy that scores a touchdown and throws the ball back to the referee. I'm not saying that either approach is necessarily wrong, because I love watching Colin Kaepernick play, just like I love watching Wilson play. But I think the beauty of rivalries a lot of times is that you have two guys that are completely different on both sides. We had that a little bit with Brady and Manning, where Brady was the guy that, you know, had the supermodel wife, and he's the playmaker, and he's the clutch guy at the end of games. And here's Manning, who's kind of like this robotic quarterback, laser rocket arm, and he puts up the big stats. And you have the two different sides of the coin. I think that's what is budding right now with this rivalry and what's going to make it great with Seattle and San Fran.
Well, absolutely, yeah. But you look at rivalries being forged, but you look at Seattle and San Francisco. I mean, just saying Seattle, San Francisco, that's weird. That's like looking at your twin and despising what you like. I mean, they're a lot alike in cities. I mean, they're waterfront, oceanfront type cities. Obviously, food cultures and kind of techie and hipster type. And we, God knows they're both liberal freaking cities, but that's another show. But, you know, certainly rich in rock and roll history. I mean, really, the two cities are a lot alike. And
rains a lot more. Rains a lot more in Seattle. A lot more rain in Seattle.
A lot more rain in Seattle. It certainly does rain a lot there in Seattle. Well, guys, I want to talk about one other guy here, kind of a feel-good story, if you will, that plays for Seattle. We talk about how loud that stadium is. We look at Derek Coleman, and really, we weren't really talking about Derek Coleman, but it seems like the playoffs, Super Bowl, always comes up with a different storyline, and this is one we're going to be seeing. And one would think that probably my pick is certainly that Seattle is going to go to the Super Bowl. But this is one of those pre-Super Bowl game stories. Derek Coleman, deaf and playing in a stadium like Seattle. And just playing in certainly the NFL's first deaf player. Derek, since his name's Derek, we'll start with you, Derek. Derek Coleman, I'm really impressed with this guy. And obviously, playing deaf, that has to be huge, especially when you look at being in the huddle and so forth. How big of an impact and struggle was that for Derek Coleman to overcome over the years to get to the level that he's at playing deaf?
Oh, I mean, I don't think any of us can speak to that outside of Derek himself, because how would I know, you know, what it would be like to not be able to hear the quarterback call out signals or call out an audible. I mean, it's got to be next to impossible. I understand that he's not completely, like, there are, you know, he has hearing aids and things like that, so he can, you know, get some of that through, but it's an amazing story, and it's great. It's great that the Super Bowl, and when we get late in the playoffs like this, it allows the platform for these stories to kind of emerge, because we're all about the flash and we're all about the star players, and to have somebody like this come through and have this story to inspire a lot of people, I think is fantastic. I mean, we've all seen the commercial at this point, right? The viral video where he talks about not hearing any of it, about the crowds and the things like
right.
that. And it's hard to not pull at your tug at your heartstrings there with how emotional and how nuts it is. I mean, he's just the guy that just acts like, oh, this is no big deal, and I just did this, and yeah, this is what I do. And it's hard not to be inspired by his story.
Well, you know, and I agree with you, but Derek, I also disagree with you. You do know what it's like to not hear the audibles from a quarterback, because aren't you married?
you know, I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, you got me there.
All right.
Well, my wife has a whole set of hand signals. If I don't hear the audibles, she'll start signaling with her hands. It's not pretty. It's the facial cues, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
Well, time flies when you're having fun. Obviously, we're talking with Derek Schultz of the Schultz the Schultz Aquarius Show, but officially the Aquarius Schultz Show of 1260 AM, doing your afternoon drive here in Indianapolis. Love these guys. Certainly check them out on 1260 AM if you're local. And Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, guys, final word from the both of you here, and we'll start with you, Ed. As we look at the two playoff games, whether it be the Broncos and the Patriots, or the 49ers and the Seahawks, what's the takeaway from this weekend?
Well, you know, I, the quarterbacks always grab the storylines. I'm really looking forward to seeing Manning and Brady go at it, you know, in the first game. And then in that second game, you have two young quarterbacks who are still kind of making their mark on this game. And two quarterbacks, you know, Russell Wilson will certainly have to throw for more than 103 yards than what he did last week. But the defenses will take center stage in this game. And it's not too hard for me to see both road teams winning this weekend, but I think only one will get the win. I think New England. I'm going with New England to win in Denver, and I'm going to go with Seattle to hold on home field and win, and setting up a Seattle-New England Super Bowl.
All right, Derek, what say you? What's the takeaway this weekend between the two games?
You know, from growing up in Southern Connecticut, I'm a big fan of Philadelphia. I think it's a really underrated city, but I actually went the complete opposite of what Ed just did. So going into the playoffs, I just thought San Francisco was a hot team, and they were more apt to win on the road than anybody else. And I think they go through it, and they win three road games. It's not unprecedented. The Giants have done it just in recent history. The Ravens have done it as well. And I think that San Francisco goes to Seattle and wins close. They come out of the NFC,
And I still like Denver at home. If Manning can't get to the Super Bowl with this team and the gap between them and the rest of the AFC and all the injuries that the Patriots and the Colts and some of the other powers in that conference can get to, then I don't know what you can say outside of calling this season a big disappointment. So I like Denver, and I like San Francisco to meet up in New York.
Well, guys, I tell you what, it always goes fast when I have you two on, and it's a I'm glad to have you both on at the same time, I guess you should say. Derek Schultz of the Aquarian Schultz Show, 1260 AM. Real quickly, Derek, where can people find your work and your masterpieces at?
Well, I don't know about any masterpieces, but you can find my blog at WND.com. Also on Twitter, where I like to stay active. It's at Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z, 1260.
And Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. Ed, I know you have all kinds of masterpieces, sir.
I'm glad somebody thinks so. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, you can find my work on www.theintel, that's two L's, intel.com, and you can / Eagles. You can follow me on Twitter, at Kratz E. It's K-R-A, C as in cat, Z as in zebra, E. And that would be great. I'm looking forward to the weekend. That's all I can say. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. Guys, well, we got to go. And coming back, we're going to be talking with an up-and-coming MMA fighter. And Derek and Ed, he says he's taking invites to join him in the cage if you want to join him. So Justin Woods, an up-and-coming MMA fighter, big fight coming up. We're going to be talking with him. And certainly, he's undefeated. So Derek, Ed, real quickly, I got him in the green room. He can hear you. Do you guys want to jump in the cage with him? No,
my wife is giving me the hand signals.
No takers. All right, guys, we got to take a break. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. We'll be right back with Gene Walker and Justin Woods. Going to be switching gears a little bit. Going to be talking some MMA. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the Phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper told by the trees. Until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon-quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Prick.
I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation. And on that note, which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
I am Optimus Prime. And I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the balance of final half hour. We have saved the best for last. I tell you what, we don't get a chance to talk a lot of MMA on the show, but one of the things about The Balance, what we do is we cover all sports, and certainly we want to thank Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Derek Schultz of the Aquarian Schultz Show, 1260 AM, for joining us and talking some NFL, $2 bill. Josh, today, talking some college hoops. But joining us now from Indiana Talks is Mr. Gene Walker, and a guy brand new to the show here on The Balance, undefeated MMA fighter Justin Woods. We'll start with you, Gene. Are you with us, sir?
I am. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. I'm ready. I'm ready for spring. I officially have cabin fever. I am done with this weather. Old man winter can go and not come back till next year, but at least we live in an area where there's four season. Joining us also, Justin Woods. Justin, welcome to The Balance for the first time, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And you know what? I invited Gene on because I know Gene knows a lot about MMA. Certainly, that's what he does in the real world and works a lot with MMA fighters and had a lot of good things to say about you. And the more research I did about you, Justin, incredible. You know, we joke around about getting in the cage with you, but talk with us a little bit about MMA, what it is. And maybe there's a lot of people that don't know. We know what mixed martial arts is. But it's come a long ways over the years as opposed to just normal cage fighting. And we'll get into your fights here in just a second. But just talk with us about what MMA is and how did you get involved with it. I know that you were a star wrestler up in Leo, Indiana. So talk with us a little bit about how you got involved with MMA and what it's done for your life.
Well, you know, I didn't go anywhere to college. I was just working at Meijer at the time and looking to make some extra money. And one of my buddies came up and offered me a bouncer job at one of the fights coming up. So I told him, yeah, you know, I'll make some extra money. And then when I got there, one of the heavyweights backed out and asked me if I wanted to step in their place. And I told him, sure. And stepped in there and knocked the guy out in 24 seconds and just kind of kept on going from there and, you know, taking more and more fights.
Well, one thing that I know is that you've ended 14 of your last 15 fights in the first round. You're 4-0 as a pro. And I know that this guy that we're going to talk to now, Mr. Gene Walker, certainly likes to brag about you. Gene, talk with us about how special Justin Woods is and what you predict to come up in the future with him.
I met Justin back in 2007 when he was basically the some of the offense for the Leo Lion football team. They were running kind of a stacked tee house formation circa 1937 set with him getting every play. And the teams that he was playing against knew he was getting the ball at every play, and it didn't stop anybody from it didn't enable him to stop them from line of scrimmage. He was getting 5 and 7 and 10 yards a chunk with five guys hanging on his back. It was ridiculous. And I made the comment then that if he didn't find his way through football, that I thought that, you know, this is the kind of kid that should definitely be in the cage and should definitely be doing mixed martial arts, the state champion wrestlers you mentioned. Justin is just a really bad matchup for the heavyweight division. In this particular sport, at about 5'10", he actually has an advantage, much like Daniel Cormier does at the 205, now 205 division that he's changed to, and it's because you're not boxing. You know, you are working on the ground, you're working back to the feet against the cage, et cetera, et cetera. So what you have in Justin is you have a guy with very little to no neck. His arms are rather short and extremely strong and bulky, and that cuts down on any possibility of submissions coming his way via an armbar or rear naked choke or things like that. He's knocked a guy out when he was in the guard of a fighter one time, and what that basically means was he was wrapped up, even though he was on top, he was at a very bad angle to just throw punches, and he threw an oblong punch that didn't seem to have a lot on it and knocked the guy out. He's coachable. He's humble. Any coach, and I coached for 12 years in football and 5 for basketball, and I can tell you that whenever you get an athlete like Justin, You are now all of a sudden looking like a smart coach, because this is the kind of guy that goes out there and dominates everything in his path and is still open to learn and to think and to constantly evolve and grow. And that you don't see a lot in really great athletes. A lot of great athletes come with a ton of ego and a ton of baggage, and you have to navigate that to get to them to, you know, produce their talent. We're going to watch your talent shine with Justin. That hasn't been the case at all. And, you know, he's been unbelievable. And he's one of those guys, too, that he doesn't do a lot of, you know, whoever you put in front of him is going to have an issue. I mean, Rick Day was a 10-1 amateur and a 3-0 pro, and that fight ended in 10 seconds. Chris Smith was in Rich Franklin's camp, working with Roger Bowling, some of those guys down in Cincinnati, a very good fighter, very good camp. First round knockout. Corey Moon, 3-1 fighter from Illinois, had a good amateur career, first round TKO, and then Tim Dunn recently over in Ohio is a solid fighter as well. So, I mean, he's the prototype guy. We're looking toward Ring of Combat this year for Justin with Lou Nagalia. Ring of Combat is where some of the recent fighters, Chris Weidman, who just fought Anderson Silva for the second time, came out of that show. Many, many clients have been signed for the UFC, World Series of Fighting, Bellator, and on from the Ring of Combat show. So we're looking to have him out there probably around May. The deal hasn't been finalized, but we're getting closer. And but wherever Justin fights and whatever he takes on, he is just nothing but pure excitement right off the gate. And he comes to win. He comes to dominate. That's exactly what he does, Tom.
Well, absolutely. And we talk about him being 5'9", 255 pounds, in all muscles. And Justin, I know that you are undefeated. You're a very humble fighter, as Gene mentioned, and you're undefeated. Tim Dunn, Corey Moon, Rick Day, and Chris Smith, all under 2 minutes, mind you, all under 2 minutes. So I'm just going to go on time alone. 1 minute, 39 seconds for Corey Moon. He gave you a challenge. So we'll call it that. Talk with me about your training. How do you get to this point? We know that mixed martial arts is obviously a mix of between boxing, some wrestling moves, jiu-jitsu, and various other. I'm not an MMA guy. Anybody that's met me can clearly say that. But what I want to know is what goes into training as an MMA fighter. What were you? Did you have some martial arts background? Was it just the wrestling? What got you to where you're at now? And where's your focus at when you train and when you get ready for your next opponent?
I never had any martial arts background. All I did was wrestling. Growing up with three brothers, we fought all the time. So it was just it came natural to me. I always wanted to leave my wrestling on the back burner. I wanted to train in different things. So I worked really hard on my boxing, my jiu-jitsu, and Muay Thai and everything like that. You know, I got a bunch of great guys I train with who just, like, make me better every day I go in. You know, I thank them all the time for, you know, helping me out. And it's just once I find out I have a fight, there's no more messing around, you know, get my diet plan down, you know, start, you know, getting real serious and just train. That's all I ever do. Go from work to working out to training and just repeat throughout the week.
You know, I did misspeak there. I see here that Chris Smith was an opponent of yours about 2 years ago, I guess, 3 minutes and 40 seconds. So I did misspeak there. That was over 2 minutes. So do we know who your next opponent is, Justin?
No, I do not, but, you know, I'm excited to find out who I'm going to fight, see, you know, what kind of challenges he brings, and, you know, just train my butt off and make sure I come out on top.
Now, Gene, we're talking with Gene Walker, certainly of Indiana Talks, and a great up-and-coming MMA fighter, Justin Woods, who is undefeated. And certainly, Gene, you work on the business aspect of it. And in being undefeated, I'm sure you have no shortage of people that want to fight Justin. How do you come about figuring out who Justin's next opponent's going to be, and what makes that determination, okay, that's going to be his next guy?
Well, there is a shortage of people that want to fight Justin. That's what happens when you start dominating the way he does. Two things happen. First, not all, but some shows become very weary of bringing him in because he's not from their area, and maybe they've got a local guy they've been building up, and Justin ends up being the last guy they want to see on some of these shows. Because if they go in and crash the local guy, then they feel like their money gets hurt, even though if he's popular, he'll be back. So they don't seem to understand that. So it's become actually harder to get Justin to fight locally, Indiana, Ohio area. We've had a couple. But now we look forward to the bigger shows, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Connecticut, Nevada, Texas possibly. I mean, it starts branching out from there. Then the question becomes, who's the opponent? When you go to a really big show, you know, let's say Dana White or Joel Silva were to give us a contract, you don't have as much leverage on your first two or three fights as you would like. You definitely are looking at, you know, them fighting, Justin fighting people that are kind of just entering the fray or have only been there for a little bit in that situation. If it's Ring of Combat, there's a lot of great talent in Ring of Combat. You're looking for, again, the same sort of thing with you want comparable amount of fights. Maybe you're fighting an opponent that has more experience than you, but sometimes you take those. It not necessarily has to be a four-fight person for Justin to fight. You look at the style matchups. You look at are they both ground fighters? Does this guy do one thing particularly well? And you start assessing it from there. But the great thing about Justin is because he has, as he mentioned, spent most of his time on his feet, even though he is a classic style wrestling type body and brawler look, it has really made it hard for him to scout and hard for him to be scouted because he doesn't always do the one thing you expect, which is take the fight to the ground immediately. He doesn't always do that. In fact, he hasn't done that a lot. So, I don't want to get too ahead of myself with him, but I find that most matchups we have for him are pretty much in his wheelhouse. The question is just how many fights does the person have? If they have 6, 8, 10, that might be okay. If they start getting the 25 or 30 range, and you're talking Cain Velasquez, there has to be a lot of money on the table, and then we've been in the organization for a while and have earned a title shot at that point. But that's kind of how it's going from now. So he's kind of went out of the region pretty much. He's, and it doesn't mean there aren't any good regional fighters. I don't mean to suggest that, but it's become increasingly hard to get him a fight. With the shows that are out there that might be listening to the show, Justin Woods is a great fighter, and he brings a crowd. There's no reason for any show in Indiana, any show in Ohio, not to bring this guy in because he offers great entertainment value, and he brings the kind of little knockout punch that fans want to see. They want to see that excitement, and it can make a card sometimes.
Well, we're talking with Justin Woods, an up-and-coming MMA fighter. Justin, you're undefeated right now, 4-0. And you look at some of the aspirations and goals that you may have going forward. Let me ask you this. Have you thought about where you'd like to be at, where you'd like to land at? I mean, is your goal maybe at some point in your career to be in the World Series of Fighting? Or is your goal more to be a coach? Or is your goal – is this a long-term thing for you? And where does your goal set at from this point?
Oh, it's definitely a long-term goal for me. You know, I want to be the best. I want to be – you know, I work hard to be the best, and I want to show people that, you know, I work my butt off to be a champion, to be, you know, one of the top guys in the world at the heavyweight division, and just, you know, keep on moving my way up and to see where I can go and just be the best. And that's what my goals are. I want to be a champion. You know, coaching, not so much. You know, I'd rather be in there being coached and just fighting. I love to fight. I love the whole training, the competition. You know, it's amazing. I love it.
Well, Justin, let me ask you this. And just this is just an opinion, but a lot of people are now looking at, as we look forward to the Olympics here, a lot of people are talking that, hey, you know, MMA has a spot in the Olympics. What do you say about that? Because a lot of people still, it's an unfortunate thing, because I don't believe this, but a lot of people still categorize MMA maybe in the same category as WWE, for example. Do you think that making MMA an Olympic sport more legitimizes your sport?
Honestly, I don't think so. You know, people are still going to think that about MMA, that it's like wrestling. It's not. You know, we don't go out there and throw fake punches. We go out there, we hit each other. And putting it in the Olympics, that would be cool, but it's still not going to give – people are still going to have their opinions on MMA. Like back, you know, 20 years ago when everybody thought it was human cockfighting. It's just – if people are going to have their opinions about that, they still have their opinions about that. And it's a real sport. It's come a long way. And, you know, people just need to realize that, you know, this is a legitimate sport. You know, it's just like boxing, you know, but – you know, we got smaller gloves. That's it.
Well, we're talking with Justin Woods, certainly undefeated, up-and-coming MMA, and had a great amateur record, the Absolute Fighting Alliance heavyweight champion. We're talking with Gene Walker also. Gene, and I appreciate you setting this interview up with us. And as you look at Justin and you look at his future, what are some of the things that you hope for him as a goal for him, maybe to fight in the future? Do you have something in mind that, hey, this would be a perfect road for Justin?
Well, I want to make sure that, you know, whatever road we choose to go down, we've done it with some thought and some, you know, we didn't jump the gun. I can assure you, Justin hasn't thought we've jumped the gun. He had a long layoff there for a while, but we know you got to do it smart. You got to go to the buffet when you're hungry, and that's the old saying. You can't get too far ahead of yourself. The craziest thing about Justin Woods is he is a long shot that absolutely could shock the world probably tomorrow. I can't say that about every fighter I know. I can't say that about many fighters, but he's one that literally could walk in with a guy that would look like a severe mismatch right now, and there would be a coin flip chance that he might win it right now. That's how far ahead he is of the game, just walking into it and just bringing what he brings and the training he has already. So the question becomes, how do we take this guy and bring him out of the woodwork? Brock Lesnar back in the day, who did make the conversion over to MMA, was successful for a moment. Brock's downfall was he just didn't have much of a jaw. But he had a lot of other skills, a lot of other formidable weapons. Justin has that jaw. So what you have is a stocky guy that can take a punch and deliver it. And so the question as far as goals go, I just want him to be in a position to where once we go through the door of the circus, we stay at the circus. And that's the goal of every athlete, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, MMA, it doesn't make any difference. You have to walk through the door, but then you have to stay in the door, stay in the party. That's the big thing. It ain't just getting there and saying you made it. That's not it. It's staying there forever and a day until you're done, or until as close to you're done as can be. And that's what we hope. And whether it's with Ray Sapo's group and World Series of Fighting on NBC, whether it's the UFC with Fox and pay-per-view, it doesn't make any difference. A Viacom and Bellator, it wouldn't make any difference. It's about staying there, and once you're there, making the right deals for Justin and making sure that they're doing right by him,
And the great thing I can tell you about Justin, anybody listening out there, is that he is one fighter that absolutely understands the principle of a light switch. Because the second he walks in that cage, he is absolutely destruction incarnate. It's real. And, Tom, you can tell anybody that about WWE to go ahead and sit that on down, because I respect those guys in World Wrestling Federation. I respect them all. Ric Flair, all those guys. They have spines that look like Travis Pastrana's right now. So believe me, when people start writing off wrestling as fake, understand those guys have put their bodies through hell in a handbasket every week for weeks. But the difference between what they're doing and what Justin's doing is Justin's actually fighting. There's nothing scripted about what he's doing. There's no director deal cut, and it is real, and it's as real as it gets. And that's why it's a top 10 sport in the world, Tom. You look 10 years back, MMA wasn't even on the chart 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. It is a top 10 sport worldwide. And unlike the NFL, MMA has succeeded worldwide. Well, the NFL is not going to. The NFL is an American sport, and that's all there is to it. It's a waste of time. These England, stupid, what Goodell's doing. It's ridiculous. MMA is big in England. It's big in Brazil. It's big in Japan. It's worldwide. And now it's huge in America, too. So there's no stopping the sport. There's no denying it. You want to put your head in the sand, go right ahead and do it. Where I think it's the sixth or seventh largest sport in the world as we speak. From 30th or whatever, 14 years ago, there has never been a sport that's ever grown like this. It's here to stay. It has major contracts with Fox and everybody. It's a done deal. We've moved in, taken over, we're here. Will it be the number one sport? I don't think so. But it doesn't need to be. It just needs to be what it is, which is pure action from get-go to go. And with Justin Woods, if you're looking to see some destruction, if that's what you're into, and let's not play, NFL fans, don't play like you're not because you love it every Sunday. This is the guy you come watch. And when we get there, we're going to stay there. And I've never been more certain of anything in my life than of Justin Woods and his ability.
Well, he's definitely at the buffet, I guess. You know, I think between the two people, you would see me at the buffet. I don't think you'd ever see him at the actual buffet. We've had Chris Lytle on the show before. And Justin, we'll give you the last word here as we're running out of time here. You know, one of the things that Chris Lytle has said that – what makes a good MMA fighter is focus, which is what Gene, echoing what Gene said, training, but also more than anything, determination and drive. And each fighter has to find that own drive within themselves. What is the drive within you?
My drive is to be the best. I want to show people that how hard people can work, and that, you know, just because I'm a small guy, and that, you know, I come from a small town in Indiana, that we can do big things, and I'm going to show people that, you know, I can rise to the top and work my butt off and, you know, just keep on showing people that I can get better and better with each fight.
Well, we've been talking with Gene Walker, and, Gene and Justin Woods, guys, we've ran out of time here. I appreciate you joining us. But, Gene, real quickly, where can people find you guys? You know where your next fight is. Where can they watch Justin at in person?
Well, like I said, I don't know if we're going to have any fights around the local area. There's a possibility of South Bend in February, but I don't know or think that's going to happen, but it might. And if it is, we will certainly get the word out through Facebook about that. But we'll talk to you in the future, and once we know where Justin's fighting, we'll let the balance break that kind of information to people, and hopefully you'll be seeing Justin on TV real soon. And Indiana, he is your son. You talk about Indiana's son, it's a kid like Justin Woods from Leo, Indiana. He is a Hoosier if there ever was one, and this is your guy. So support him because it's about to go worldwide. Don't sleep on this kid.
Absolutely. Well, Justin, real quickly, where can people follow you on social media?
My Facebook, it's just Justin Woods. I also have a fan.
Go ahead, Justin. I'm sorry, you cut out right there. Justin, are you there? Okay.
Tom?
Oh, I'm sorry, Justin. Hello? You cut out. Go ahead, Justin. I apologize. Go right ahead, sir. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine. I have a fan page called Justin Woods MMA, and I put up all my fights up there. I tell them where it's going to be, when it's going to be, and that's where you can follow me at. I'm not really a social media type of person,
okay.
But, you know.
Well, I understand. Well, Justin and Gene Walker, we appreciate you guys being with us. Gene, I know everybody can listen to you on Indiana Talks. When can people listen to you out there?
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And then, of course, the fourth down repeats itself from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. We cover all the sports. We do it all, as you know.
Yes, I do. All right, guys, we appreciate you joining us. And, Justin, you're welcome here on The Balance anytime, sir.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, buddy. Gene Walker and Justin Woods, an up-and-coming MMA fighter, and really enjoyed talking with him. Undefeated, and I'm not going to challenge him. You know, Gene may have said he's a little guy, but he's no little guy. Guys, well, that's going to do it for us. We're out of here. We do this thing next week. Make sure you join us on Indiana Talks between the hours of 1 and 3 on Saturday. You can find us on iTunes and pretty much anywhere on the net. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. Till next Saturday, I'm out of here.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.